Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. I just noticed that I forgot to send out the notice that we're having the show today at the beginning of the Burning Bush Festival, which we're having out here in Oregon. We kind of named it the Burning Bush Festival because of course, Moses. Moses saw a light in the desert, and he was not going to turn away from it. And he called it a burning bush. And the reason why is in that area of the world, in the very hot, dry desert and the kind of bushes that they have, bushes can be known to spontaneously combust and burn up. So if you were living at the time of Moses out there in the desert tending your sheep, you would be out there, you know, kind of keeping an eye on them. I've been out on the desert tending sheep for many, many, many years. That's what I do out here. And when you look out across the desert, there's not much to look at. The TV doesn't work, and there's no TV reception. And so he would be gazing out there on the desert, and he saw a light out on the desert at a distance. And in those days, it wasn't going to be a car light. You know, the chariots didn't have lights, and they didn't put lights on horses or donkeys. And so if you saw a light suddenly appear out in the desert where you knew there was nobody, you would imagine that it was a burning bush. That's what you would imagine, because that happened in those days. Bushes spontaneously combusted. And so you would say, what is that light out there? Is that a burning bush? Doesn't look quite like a burning bush, but what else would it be? And you could go out to it, crossing the desert at night in the dark to get to this burning bush, or you could just stay warm and cozy tucked up there in camp. Well, Moses went out to see the light. He was willing to step out and go see the light that he could see out there on the desert. And he went to that thing that he only knew to call a burning bush. It appeared to him at a distance to be a burning bush. Did it look like a burning bush when he got up to it? Well, according to Renaissance painters, he looked like a burning bush when he got up to it. But there's no evidence really that that's actually what he was seeing. That those images that you see painting in your Bible books of a burning bush that was talking is not really what the biblical text is telling you it looked like. That's somebody constructing, based on a few lines, what they imagine Moses saw. And they paint it lots of different ways. And, of course, it adds to the unicorn syndrome of society. And I just made that term up. We had recently posted on the network a video, and you can see it at you go to preparingyou.com. That's preparingyou.com, and you look up unicorn in the search engine, and it'll give you a page, and you'll see that video there. And it's really kind of a funny, interesting video about unicorns in the Bible. And the fellow who made it, he actually puts in some clips of people poo-pooing the Bible because it mentions unicorn, and there's no fossil records of unicorns anywhere. No one's ever seen a unicorn. Well, of course, the fact is almost everybody's seen a unicorn, or at least a picture of a unicorn that really existed, and there's lots of fossils of them. There's actually a variety of unicorns, and most people don't know what I'm talking about because they don't know what a unicorn is. But if you looked it up in a dictionary, you know, even just 200 years ago, a unicorn was a rhinoceros, And, of course, when you read it in the context of the Bible, it makes absolute perfect sense. And this guy really does a good job of putting it together in the little short video. But this is what happens, is that people poo-poo the Bible because somebody draws conclusions about the text that are completely wrong. That it's not really there. They draw a picture, either, you know, actually a painting or a picture, or they draw one with words and descriptions. And they don't really know, you know, they're translating often these Bible verses out of context of history. They don't know the history, or they don't understand the history. And that's to be understood, because there's been a lot of distortion of history over the years. People distort the news, and that just happened. So the idea that they're going to distort history should be a no-brainer. And once you distort history and then you try to translate the Bible and interpret the Bible, you may take the Bible out of the context of history. And I got an email just a little bit ago, an hour or so ago, when I first got up and was and looking through things. I saw this email come in. Actually, it was a couple hours ago. And it was about Paul and about government and about Romans 13. And, of course, we write all kinds of things about Romans 13, and we have videos and audios up about Romans 13. But we have it also about Paul and what Paul was really doing and what he was really saying. And it's quite different from the impression that you get from most modern ministers. But, of course, most modern ministers have delivered the whole world back into bondage of Egypt. They practice the Corban of the Pharisees on a regular basis. They actually even promote the Corban of the Pharisees. And it's really an abomination. Most churches are an absolute apostasy for all kinds of reasons, and we talk about them in great detail. And that makes it pretty bold that I'm saying that, because who made me right? Well, you have to go look at the facts. You got to go see. And the fact is, and this is one of the discussions we had with one of the first couples that showed up. They actually showed up early because they had to get back to Las Vegas, where they live. And they, we shared some things with them. I went out, you know, it's kind of busy around here, and they helped set up some of the yurts. And I went and shared with Dan some of the things that we're doing. And he evidently listens to us on KKVV, which we also heard there on that station, 5 days a week in Las Vegas. But we shared with him some of the goals of the early church, which are our goals, because that is what the church was established by Jesus Christ, to promote his doctrines, his purposes, by the same faith and rituals and ceremonies. And those rituals and ceremonies are things like taking care of the poor. That's a ritual. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, having silk vestments or linen vestments and, you know, and making, blowing smoke out of incense things. And, you know, that isn't the weightier matters. That isn't what Jesus was focusing on. Jesus was focusing on righteousness, on what he called the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And most churches have no idea that Jesus was actually preaching a government. When he says the kingdom of God is at hand, he's saying the government of God is at hand. This is how the government of God works. The government of God works by faith, hope, and charity. That's what John the Baptist was saying. You know, you have two coats and your neighbor has a need. Or a coat, you share a coat with them. But it's your choice. You see, because it's the perfect law of liberty. You get to choose how you're going to help out the needy of your society. Today, the churches don't really help out the needy. Oh, they have their little token charities. You know, like, we have a food kitchen. And, you know, we put $1,000 into the food kitchen, or $2,000, or $10,000. How much did they put into their big screen TV? The fact is that if you, as a congregational member of most of these churches, have any social welfare needs, you don't get them filled by the church. you get them filled by the government. And the government is composed of who? Men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, which Jesus said you weren't to be like. The other governments of the world, the other nations, you weren't to be like that. You weren't to have your welfare taken care of by men who exercise authority one over the other. And you do. All of you do. You know, everybody out there. And those of you who say, oh, no, we don't, we take care of ourselves, talking about your family or whatever it is, or you as an individual, how much effort have you put into creating a network of people to take care of the needy of your society by faith, hope, and charity? Are you doing that? Or are you just not paying your taxes because you don't want to be under the thumb of government? Or you just don't, maybe you pay your taxes, but you just don't take any of the benefits. But what are you doing to seek the kingdom of heaven for your neighbor as much for yourself? In other words, are you coming together in a congregation of people, not bound by contracts and covenants and membership, but bound by love? You actually take the time to come together to be there for one another in a congregation, and in that, when that congregation has no need, you still contribute to the need of some other congregation, hopefully, or some congregation that hasn't even met, in order to form a congregation who has not even heard the Word of God. They still think the Word of God is you just say you accept Jesus. You don't actually have to know who Jesus was. You know, you can have your Renaissance painters paint any kind of picture of Jesus, and you say, oh, that's Jesus. Or is that Jesus? Or is that Jesus? Well, actually, what your pastors are doing is painting a picture of Jesus that isn't really the real Jesus. Which is why your nations, all your nations, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, England, United States, South America, all the people are in debt. You know, and the Bible's clear that that's not a good thing. They're all surety for the debts of their government, which it tells that you shouldn't be such a surety. You shouldn't strike hands and become such a surety. You certainly shouldn't be selling your rights to obtain such security, because that would be the error of Balaam and the Nicolaitans and Esau, who sold his birthright, his responsibility, in order to obtain free meals, free gifts, free benefits. You're not supposed to be doing that, but yet you've done that in all these nations that claim they're Christian nations. Because they have rituals and ceremonies I never saw Jesus doing. I mean, Jesus never baptized anybody. The apostles did, but when they got baptized, they were leaving one social welfare system based on force, like the Corban of the Pharisees, and entering into a social welfare system like John the Baptist talked about, based on faith, hope, and charity, which also Jesus talked about. Your churches aren't doing that. Your churches aren't leading you down that path. They aren't leading you to the ways of the early church, or the ways of Christ, or the ways of John the Baptist, or the ways of Moses, or the ways of Abraham. So your synagogues are just as much an apostasy. You don't even follow Moses in your synagogues. And as for those who claim to be following Abraham in their mosques, they aren't doing what Abraham was doing. He was setting up altars based on faith, hope, and charity that took care of the needy and bound society together by love for one another and care for one another and concern for one another. You guys aren't doing that. Your priests aren't in church. Your church is the state. Your church is the powers of the world. That's who you go to for your benefits. And even if you don't go to them for your benefits, like I say, if you're not creating the alternative, you are the problem. you aren't following Christ, because Christ came to create the alternative, to establish the alternative. And you're not doing that. So you're not following Christ. You're not seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're just doing your own thing. You're just playing church. Your real church is down there at City Hall, you know, or wherever you go to for your welfare office. So anyway, I got this letter today from somebody who, there's a form deal on the internet where you can write us a letter, and then I usually get it. I think I usually get it, but I may not always get it. Every time I get it, I try to respond to them. But I got this letter, and it's from a guy, we'll just call him BR, and he writes, Dear folks, which I guess is to us at the church, in regards to Romans 13, which is misunderstood by the vast majority, I have this to say. And of course, now we, like I said, we show you what Romans 13 really means. And we've written whole books on it. And you can download those books for free. We don't charge you anything. If you think that our efforts are worthwhile, you can certainly contribute to us. But that's your choice, because, you see, the government of God, and the church is defined as one form of government. The form of government that is the church established by Jesus Christ, in other words, the form of government established by Jesus Christ, operates by the perfect law of liberty. It has ministers. It has taxes. But you tax yourself. You decide what you want to give to your ministers. And you decide which ministers you want to give it to. That's something you must elect to do. It's up to you. It is, we're not going to make you. We're not going to kick in your door. We're not going to fine you. We're not going to put you in jail or threaten to put you in jail if you don't contribute to us. We're going to go do out what is written on our hearts and our minds. And we hope you do the same. And that's the government of God. Now, all the other governments of the world, they don't do it that way. You see, men do need government. But they need a righteous government, and a righteous government is based on liberty and the right to choose. And giving you the right to choose, you want to have vegetables? You want to have beets in your salad? We give you the right to choose. We let you decide. Now, if you don't want them, you don't have to put them in there. We give you choices all the time. And if you make the right choice, then God will bless you. If you make the wrong choice, well, you've cursed yourself. And you're making the wrong choice every day. Out there in the world, people are doing it. And hopefully we get them to turn around and make the right choice. But most of them won't. But anyway, so we already talk about Romans 13. He doesn't seem to mention anything about what we've written. He just looking for some form in order which to write to us. He says, Romans 13 about obey those who have the rule over you is a major contradiction to what Jesus taught and therefore cannot be true or inspired. Well, actually, that is exactly what Jesus taught. Jesus said, if you owe Caesar, pay Caesar. So that's exactly what Jesus taught. And Jesus admitted that if you have a master, you should obey him. He just said you can't obey two masters. So if they have rule over you, how do they have rule over you? Well, you've made covenants with them, contracts with them, applied to them for free education and health care and all sorts of protection and benefits. And if you want to go abroad, you want one of their passports. And if you go get one of their passports, they've already written down anybody who has a passport can be conscripted to work in civilian work projects without pay. Compelled to work in civilian work projects. And of course, that's what you are. You're compelled when you go get your employee identification number. You will have to work part of the day without pay. What you do for McDonald's or Rocketdyne or whoever you work for, the money that you earn doesn't go to you, it goes to the government, because you're working for the government. I asked my dad that when I was a small boy. I said, who do you work for? And he says, well, until July 1st, I worked for the government, because he was in a 50% income tax bracket. half of all the money he made had to go to the government. So half of every day, or half of every year, he was working for the government. And that's the way that system is. And I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying what it is. You see? And so if you're working for them, you have to pay them. You have to pay your taxes. If you've applied for their benefits or your parents sold you into an apprenticeship with them, you owe them. You have to pay. And so it's not a major contradiction to obey those who have rule over you. The question is, how do they have rule over you? Have you been like Esau and the Nicolaitans and Balaam and sold your birthright for a pot of benefits? Well, that's why Jesus said you were not to, you know, when he's talking to his appointed ministers, his apostles, he's saying you're not to be like the princes of the other nations, the Gentiles, who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. In other words, the church is the government that does not exercise authority. It's another form of government. It should be and used to take care of all the social welfare needs of the people. It doesn't. See, this guy, he goes on and he says, most Christians think that God is the author of human government. But I would totally disagree with that belief. Well, that's true. You know, God didn't sign the Constitution. Men were the author of the Constitution, or whatever government you're in. You know, parliaments, whatever government is set up in Canada or New Zealand or Australia or Brazil or whatever, that's set up by men. That's not set up by government. But God allows you to do that. He allowed Esau to sell his birthright. He allowed the Israelites to go into bondage in Egypt. He allowed the people of Israel to elect Saul as a king. He told them it was a rejection of God to do so, and that he would end up taking and taking and taking and taking and draft your sons and even your daughters eventually to his purposes. He told you that they would do this, and that someday you would cry out and he would not hear you. He told you, but you did it. It wasn't instituted by God. He allowed you to institute it. So the guy's right, is that human governments are instituted by humans, not by God. God's government was instituted by Christ, and it is based on faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, that you come together out of love, not by making contracts, covenants, or constitutions, because we weren't to make covenants with men and make them God's ruling judges over us. And I just did two shows on jury and jury nullification, and they will be a part of an article coming out with News and Views. And in that article, we're going to show you how and where these God's many come from, and why it is written that ye also are gods, and what Jesus meant by that. But we have to lay a little bit of foundation, but we're going to take it another step farther in the next article. But anyway, you'll be able to hear those shows when that article comes out, and some of you will hear them on some other networks before then, because we have to record so many shows during the week to get all the radio stations happy. So anyway, and we try to review that on Liberty Radio, which is one of the first live shows that we do each week. But you're going to have to begin to wake up and see the wholeness of this. And the guy goes on to mention Paul and pastors and clergy and laity, and he doesn't understand. And I told him that we would talk about it on today's show, so I sent him an email. I don't know if he is going to be coming on the show and listening, but you can listen when we return to Keys to the Kingdom in a moment and reveal to you the rest of the story. Be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about some of the things that are often misunderstood in the Bible. And one of them is that as Moses went out and was not afraid and was willing to see the light, find out what it is, he would not turn from this. He was going to go out there and discover what it was. You need to be willing to do the same thing, to see the truth, to see the whole truth and provide for it. You know, like Patrick Henry said, willing to know that whole truth. Because the chains are already forged and you forged them. And you have bound yourself. So that you have to obey human government because you have applied to human government, or your parents did, to obtain benefits. You know, I was pointing out to somebody just yesterday that most of the people in the United States were not educated in public school in the 1900s. They were most were educated, and there was a high degree of literacy, more so in the United States than almost anywhere else. Yet, even with the huge slave population and existing Aboriginal Indians, our literacy rate was extremely high. And it was not due to public schools. It was due to the fact that people actually took the time to learn and teach one another and to help pay for each other's education. Even the first public schools were heavily supported by private donations because people knew it wasn't right to force their neighbor to contribute to pay for education. Now it's so common, they just have an absolute cognitive disconnect from understanding that every time you want to increase the benefits of government, you do it at the expense of your neighbor. And that's totally against Christ, totally against the commandments of God, totally against what used to be considered free societies. Absolutely an abomination, but people don't do it. They think abomination is what the government is doing. You know, they're all worked up about Syria. And, you know, supposedly they use gas, and there's evidence that's already come out that the gas was actually manufactured by the United States government. And not that they administered it. There's also a question as to whether the Syrian government or the rebels used it. We know the rebels. We have them filmed on actually cutting out the heart of soldiers they have killed and eating it on the screen. And we're supposed to finance their rebellion. We're supposed to send them guns so they could do this, while they want to take guns away from their own population. What you have here is that men have instituted governments and government offices of power. They have given men the power to decide. 15% of Americans can be for sending arms to Syria, and the rest not. And the government will still do it. Most of the other governments of the world don't want to support that, but the government will still do it because they have the power and you don't. They're at liberty to decide on your behalf because you gave them that power, and you gave them that power because you were slothful and ignorant and opposed the ways of Christ. Oh, you said you believed in him, but you don't really believe in Jesus. You believe in that painted image of Jesus you were given in Bible school, which is a complete fraud. Jesus was actually setting people free. Anybody who got the baptism of Jesus were no longer members of the system of Corban, which was the social welfare system of Herod and the Pharisees that was based on forcing people to contribute to provide a rich and full treasury of benefits, which is and always has been the antithesis of the teachings of God through the prophets. But you would know that because you've taken the Bible out of the context of history. And that's what we're doing, is putting it back in the context of history. So we're going to say a lot of things that you don't agree with because you're ignorant. Now, I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying you're ignorant. But if you choose to stay ignorant and not learn the truth about history, the whole truth, and provide for it, then I will add, you're stupid. You're foolish, if not stupid. Stupid may be a difficult word to describe. Those who choose ignorance are foolish. And I guess they're going to remain stupid. But right now, you've simply been fooled. And we were told the whole world would be fooled. Deceived. Even the very elect would be, except by the grace of God. And if you're going to understand that you're not seeking the kingdom unless you're seeking an alternative to the needs of society based on faith, hope, and charity, then you're not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so therefore you're not listening to Jesus, you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're not a Christian. You're a pseudo-false apostate Christian who isn't saved, just under a strong delusion. And when Jesus comes, whether it's, you want to call it the second coming, third coming, fifth coming, I don't care what number you put on it. There's no mention of a second coming. But when you're faced with judgment, God's going to say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. Because you weren't doing what I said. You weren't doing what Jesus said. You weren't doing what the prophet said. As a matter of fact, when somebody says it, you condemn them. You're not contributing to the character of Christ in the land. And therefore, your land is void of the character of Christ and will be destroyed. There's nothing you can do about it. You can whine and cry all you want, but he already told you he's not going to hear you. So anyway, the guy goes on to say Jesus spoke of himself as the only shepherd, which means pastor. Actually, shepherd means shepherd. And so then the organized church system of clergy and laity world is very off base. No, absolutely it's not. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to appoint the kingdom of God to everybody. He said, to my little flock, I'm going to appoint the kingdom of God. And they went out and appointed other men. And so therefore you have the clergy, which are just the clerks of the kingdom. They're the ones who just go from house to house and distribute the bread to the needy. And we see that in first century church and second century church writings. They said that we gather once a week and those that have share with those that don't have enough. Because that's love. They're saying, well, you don't have a coat, I got two. You don't have any food, well, I got an extra bag of grain. And those that have share with those that don't have enough. And of course, that's love to do that. That's charity to do that. The same word you see translated love when Jesus says it is translated charity when Paul says it. And you don't think there's an agenda with translators. Now, I'm not saying it's false. I'm just saying you don't understand. Then unless you are providing the charitable needs of your church in all aspects of the lives of your congregation, from health care to welfare, you're not practicing the Christianity taught by Christ. You're not doing what the first century church was doing. You see, you're an apostasy. I don't care how big the screen TV is in your church. I don't care how good the sound system is. I don't care how good the music makes you feel. You're a false Christian unless you're taking care of all the care and welfare of your congregations. All. So that none of them have to go to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Am I saying not to pay your taxes? You're already under those authorities. You're going to have to pay those taxes. But you can't be taking those benefits and say, or not, you, if you take those benefits, you have to realize you have to take those benefits because you haven't been seeking the kingdom of God. You have to pay your tally of breaks until they release you. And they will release you, but if you don't have the skills of liberty, which is a skill, as a society, then you will perish and should perish. Because you should be in bondage. You should be under tribute. Because you've been slothful in the ways of God, in the ways of Jesus Christ, in the ways of John the Baptist, in the ways of Abraham, in the ways of Moses. And I don't care if you're a Jew or a Muslim or a Christian or a Buddhist. If you're not taking care of the needy of your society by free will offerings, then you aren't doing what the prophet said to do. You're just not doing it. And you're not doing it because you don't really believe it. And so when you tell me you believe in Jesus, show me. That's what James says. By their works you shall know them. By the fruits of their faith, which will be works, you will know them. Now, sure, there are some that could do works and not really have faith, and they might fool you, but those who don't have works, they don't have faith, because there's no fruit. The fruit of faith is works. And we go and show that that's what Paul's talking about. Paul says he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments, and that includes don't covet your neighbor's goods. Paul is not an apostate. You just don't understand Paul. And often, unfortunately, you don't understand Paul because you don't understand Christ. Christ appointed a clergy that were not going to sit around and tell you what to believe and lull you into a false sense of salvation. He created a clergy to take care of the needy of society. And they can't do that unless you love your neighbor, because it's your love offering that gives them the power to do that. Unfortunately, what they've been doing with your love offering is putting on a show with their big screen TVs. You know, everybody who goes to a church with a big screen TV, they're going to keep hearing me say that. But, you know, I mentioned in one of the shows on jury that there was a family that whose son, I think I actually mentioned on this show once, where there was a son who was molested by his public school teacher. The public school teacher put alcohol in soda pop and got the kid drunk and molested him and set up a deal where he was molesting this kid for years. Years and years and years. He was molesting this boy and putting the boy under all kinds of emotional stress because he was threatening, oh, if you tell anybody, then it's going to go bad for your family and it's going to go bad for you. So he was just a shark devouring the soul of this boy who was clearly going through all kinds of trauma and anger issues because of the suppressed guilt and feelings that were created by this so-called married teacher who was molesting the boy. And then other teachers came out and supported that teacher and asked for leniency because the boy didn't seem to be really harmed. He still is a straight-A student. Well, not according to his family. He's terribly harmed, and anybody who thinks that that does not alter or change the life, that it's okay to molest a boy, get him drunk. They talk about his first offense. That was just the first time he got caught. Not the first offense. It went on for years. In years, it was plotted. It was conspired. It was premeditated. And it was ongoing against a child. And the teachers supported him. And the parents, one of those teachers, and the honest parents in the school, didn't want their kids to be in the classes of those teachers who supported this guy. And the school board wouldn't fire them because they feared being sued. Well, of course, the solution is not even send your kids to the school and homeschool your kids, and the people should have known that already, and then none of this would have happened. But it's this disconnect from morality, which is what we're going to be seeing in all the news stories, where people are, officers who are chaplains are relieved of duty because they actually talked about Jesus Christ and preached their faith. They're not supposed to do that, evidently. You can be a chaplain. That's bizarre. That's bizarre. You can't share your faith as a chaplain. What are you? Well, you're what all these other pastors are. They're just showmen. Make you feel good. You know, to give pretense. They're not being... And again, who's your real clergy in these socialist societies? It's the guys down at your social welfare office. Except for those benefactors exercise authority. They force your neighbor to contribute. In Christianity, you are allowed to make that choice because that's the perfect liberty, law of liberty. That's the liberty they came to spy out, the liberty that Christ had set them free so that they could practice true faith and allegiance to God by loving one another. But you're not doing that. You're in false Christianity. You're not creating a network that could provide for any. You know, there's a volcanic vent, evidently, that has just shown up just outside the Vatican. It's just short distance away from the airport there in Rome. And so what's going on with that volcanic vent? What do you think's happening there? There's another huge earthquake up in Alaska, and the deepest volcano in the world is over, I think it's over 1,000 meters down, is erupting. And there'll be all shaking coming loose here one of these days. And what's happened is you've created these offices of power that are destroying families and destroying society and are cognitively disconnected from the idea that you should have the right to choose how and who you give to. You know, the Homeschooling Legal Defense, I think it's an association, HSLDA, whose founder is Mike Ferris, is there's a story up in Germany where the Germans have outlawed homeschooling because they don't want any alternative society growing up in their midst. And this is left over from the democratic socialists we used to know as Nazis. They've outlawed homeschooling, and they actually came in and took 4 children away from their parents and told them they were not going to see their children again because the parents had the audacity, the boldness of teaching their children at home. And the United States supports this. I mean, your Attorney General is advocating that same kind of policy and think that that's absolutely reasonable, that the government owns your children and they can take your sons and daughters away from you. Where did we hear about that in the Bible, where they take your sons and daughters away from you? When you elected Saul. Every time you elect a president, prime minister, I don't care what country you're in, you're just electing another Saul, someone who can exercise authority. And why? Because you have no alternative, because you haven't been seeking the kingdom of God, which is what Moses taught, what Abraham taught, what John the Baptist taught, which Jesus taught, which was a clergy that did not exercise authority but provided the benefits of society through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you were to strive to do that. Seek ye first, that's a do word, the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. In other words, do liberty. God gave you choice. You have to give your neighbor the right to choose whether it's the right to educate their children or the right to contribute to the poor or the right to contribute to the education of their neighbor or even the right to eat what they want to eat. That's a spirit of forgiveness produces a society that allows you the right to choose, but also allows you the right to freely assemble in congregations of love and faith and the same rituals and ceremonies we see the early church doing, where they gathered together once a week and those that had shared with those that did not have enough because they cared about their neighbor as much as they cared about themselves. And the story I was looking at was Darmstadt, Germany, and the children of this family from 7 to 14 were taken away. And it's not just Germany that's doing the same thing. Sweden and other countries are in the European Union are considering this, outlawing completely. I mean, they already make it difficult, but outlawing completely. And they have a picture of this family, and it's a lovely family. And it's a family and parents who care about their children, and they're well-educated children. But there was a brutal, and I'm quoting here, brutal and vicious attack. Team of 20 social workers police officers and special agents stormed a homeschooling family residence in Darmstadt, Germany, forcibly removing all four of the family children, ages 7 to 14. This kind of stuff actually goes on in America. You don't think it does? You don't know what's going on. And it stems from the highest echelons of your Saul syndrome government. Because you don't think it's possible to take care of one another through love. Your pastors aren't teaching you that. They're not the clergies of Christ. They're the clergies of Satan, the adversaries of Christ. The adversaries of Christ want you to live by forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Just like Germany wants Dirk and Petra Wunderlich to bow down and turn their children over to the state so that the state can take them and make the sons run before their chariots and the daughters become their confectionaries working for them. Family is not important to Germany. What's important to Germany is the power of the Reich. And it's the same way in Canada. It's the same way. Oh, you like to think of yourselves as benevolent, or Australia, or any of these countries. They're all doing it. They want to control, and you have to guard against that. And the only way to guard against that is to do the antithesis of that, and that is to start taking care of one another through love. And you don't do that. The number of injustices I see in the world today, because people don't go down to the courtrooms. They don't support righteousness. They don't tend to what Jesus calls the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They just don't do it. Because they're saved already. Because they go to church and the church makes them feel so good. I love the music there. How trite. How naive. How decadent. A Christian? Or are you a Christian at all? Christ came to serve, came to set men free. Are you gathering together to set men free? You wonder why you have the problems you have? Go read the story, go look up Buckyball on the internet and see the spirit of control. Where this, you know, I don't have any buckyballs. I didn't even know what buckyballs were, but evidently it's, you know, it's just these little magnetic ball bearings and people play with it. And, you know, it's an office toy, I guess. I didn't know that you needed one. But anyway, I don't have time for stuff like that, but somebody had time for it and they were selling millions of them and they were working with the government and all of a sudden the government just shut them down because supposedly buckyballs are dangerous. Somebody might throw them and hurt somebody. Somebody might swallow them. And one guy pointed out, well, then they should outlaw coconuts. Because somebody might throw a coconut and hit you. There should be a safety. If you're going to grow coconuts, you need to get a special government permit. We're going to talk in the next part of the show about pastors and the dangers of not following the ways of Christ have become to those who do not know the ways of Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Paul. So listen in on the next show. And we're going to shake and rattle the bars of your cage. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.